Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Can we start over again? Can you just press delete? I need to watch you delete it. Podcast gold, as we say.
Okay. I'm gonna use this for an intro.
No, we won't. It'll make me look too dumb. You can't make me look too dumb. There's a line. I'm JP. Welcome to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, subculture. We do local music reviews, beer reviews, art, criticism, and announcements, basically anything you want. This week's episode, we're going to be focusing on Velo City Weekend, Top Dead Celebrity, Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School, among others. Velo City Bags is a custom bag shop located in downtown Salt Lake. The founder, Nathan Larson, started making handcrafted messenger bags and backpacks after not being able to find an ideal bag for his daily use and cycling habits. In 2008, he founded Velo City Bags out of his own apartment and has since acquired a storefront location at 336 South 500 East. They make custom bags made to order for any style, size, color, or accessories. Designed both for comfort when carrying around town and to survive the harsh and really unpredictable Utah climate. Slug's junior editor, Alex Ortega, interviewed Nathan and his wife and helper, Debbie Larson, about the company and their upcoming event, Velo City Weekend.
For those who may not have been cued in last year, what is Velo Weekend?
It's a two-day urban bicycle event, jam-packed with little events like a tall bike joust, alley cat, stationary sprints.
Yeah, we just actually put together a bunch of bicycling events and do them over 2 days, and we have tons of sponsors. We give out great prizes. Last year we had some food sponsors also, so that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
But it just brings together urban cyclists in Salt Lake, and it's a lot of fun. We actually got the theme from our scooter rallies that we used to do. We used to go to scooter rallies, and you would just jam-pack scooter events into 3 days, and that's all you did, so that's where we got the idea from.
And so why did you guys decide to organize an event like this?
I just kind of felt like it. Debbie said we go to, like, vintage scooter rallies, and they were just really great events, and we just thought there should be something like this in the cycling community.
Why make it a two-day event?
Just so you can add more stuff. You know, it'll probably actually grow as we keep going, you know.
We actually did add a couple
We've added
of
some,
events
yeah.
this year, so.
Awesome. Where will the collection of activities take place this year? And also, have you added any other rides or aspects to Velo Weekend?
We're going to be doing, like, the tall bike joust at a vertical, and then we'll be doing, like, the sprints at No Brow Coffee. And we've added gorilla drive-in to the event. We're going to do a bicycle morph.
And what, you just mentioned gorilla drive-in? What's that?
That's just find a wall and you project a movie onto it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's usually just like a building downtown or something. We went to one in LA actually that our friends put on, and that was our first experience with it. And we just found this abandoned parking lot with a huge wall on the building, and they did a movie, and it was awesome. It was so much fun, and they they had somebody out there with their food truck, and we just thought that would be so much fun to do here in Salt Lake. So.
Awesome. And so, who can participate in this event?
Pretty much anybody. It's an all-age event. We work really hard to make it all ages. Pretty much anybody. And we make, like the Alley Cat, we make it very approachable to all cycling levels. You know, if you don't want to win, you know, you're still going to have a fun time and stuff.
And so what else is going to be different this year?
Well, we're adding the morph. So after the sprints, we're going to do a little morph.
Which is a bike dance, like a proms. Obviously.
Yeah.
I went to one of those in high school.
This one is actually so much more fun, though, than the high school prom. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's all ages. That will be at No Brow also, and we're going to actually have a live band for that.
Who's going to play?
We're still working
Not
on that.
Sure.
But we have a couple in mind.
My high school morph, we wore our pajamas. Is there like a dress theme? Pajama? Cycling theme?
Not really, because people are going to be doing sprints.
Right.
So they want to be in the right attire for that.
And so last time I sat down with Nathan, he said that you, Debbie, help him out a lot when things get busy around the shop and with other things involving Velo City entity. And so what sort of tasks will you undertake this year for this year's Velo Weekend?
Well, actually, Nate and I have been planning Velo Weekend. We've been trying to put things together for about the past month, and really what it takes a lot of planning, so we're trying to get sponsors, we're writing letters to all of our old sponsors from last year and trying to get new ones, and we're trying to figure out all the venues that we're going to be using, and we have to plan how we're going to get people together, and just entails a lot of little work that takes up a lot of time, and I'm sure that I'm going to be in here on the weekends cutting out bags also, preparing to give away prizes and stuff. So
is the operation still kind of going to be the two of you and Esther Meronio, or have others taken on some Velo Weekend responsibilities as well?
There's actually somebody on Facebook approached us, Olivia. She's on the Salt Cycle group, and she really wanted to help with it, so hopefully we'll be able to get her in, and that would help us out a lot. It'd be great fun to have someone get a different aspect also.
How can more people get involved in facilitating this event?
Sponsors are always good. You know, right now we got them, you know, the manpower and stuff, pretty good, but sponsoring can always help. It encourages people to come out, and prizes are always good to encourage people.
Good incentive.
But if other people want to help out, there are going to be plenty of opportunities, and especially like with our alley cat, we need a lot of people to help be at the stops and help out with that. So if anybody wants to contact us about helping out, pretty much they can just come into the shop or contact us on Facebook at Velo City Bags on Facebook.
Kind of shifting gears here, what do you hope Velo Weekend will do for the urban bike community?
I just hope it kind of strengthens it, hopefully bring out some other people that have never, you know, been to a bike event. That's the whole point, is to kind of keep it lighthearted and just fun so that everybody can come.
Do you have any specific goals or aims you're trying to meet this time around?
Not really. As long as it's fun, that's good enough for us, I would think.
As long as it's fun and people are on bikes, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And how do you measure the success of an event like this?
Well, like last year, people came and they enjoyed it, and they're still talking about it. That's a success to me.
Yeah, and last year we had about 70 registered participants, which was a great number. We were really surprised at how many people we got. So,
wow.
Yeah, it turned out really big.
I didn't realize it was that big.
Yeah.
Nice.
So hopefully we can get that many people or more at least this year. That would be awesome.
And, of course, what sort of sweet prizes can participants expect from the raffle this year?
Well, we do one thing we do for a prize is we do a point system for each event. So you get a point for just participating in it. And obviously, if you do well in it, you get points. And Velo City Bags will be giving out two custom bags for that, one for the male points winner and one for the female's points winner. But then we also have some great sponsors from State Bicycles, Saturday Cycles, Salt Lake Bicycle Co., Nog and stuff. So yeah, we've got some great sponsors already, and you know, we expect more to come in and stuff. So
yeah, there will be tons of Velo City Bag stuff.
Yeah, we gave out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we gave out tons of stuff last year. So there's definitely going to be some caps and beanies and probably pedal straps and pedal kits, wallets, belts, bags.
Any special edition products for the weekend?
It's crossed my mind. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
If I have the time, yeah, we'll see.
It will be a surprise.
Yeah, definitely.
Velo City Weekend takes place June 29th through the 30th. For more details and to register, go to veloweekendslc.com. And to order your own custom bag or accessories, visit them online at velocitybags.com. Top Dead Celebrity is a rock band from Salt Lake City, consisting of Jeff Anderson, Jeff Johnson, Jesse Mills, and Andy Patterson. The band released their self-titled debut album in April of 2009, with their second full-length album, Midwestern Rube, released in March of 2011. Here's Top Dead Celebrity's The Mule off of their second release. Thank you. That was Top Dead Celebrity with The Mule. And now I chat with Andy Patterson and Jeff Anderson of Top Dead Celebrity. We've got a lot of really interesting stuff to talk about. The album, of course, mm-hmm. and the state of Salt Lake Rock, as it were, and Crucial Fest.
Yeah.
And we just got done listening to your song, The Mule, off of Midwestern Rube. And I usually don't ask this because it's a super trite question, but that's a really cool title for an album name. Where did it come from?
No, it's retarded. It came from a friend of mine. He actually does a podcast, and he had said something about me being an ignorant Midwestern Rube. Because they're from Philly. They're from the East Coast, and yeah. So a square state like Utah, we're all jackasses out here. So that was his likening of me. So I thought it stuck.
I'm going to point out that he obviously doesn't even understand geography.
He clearly doesn't.
Clearly.
Because we are not in the Midwest.
Because who's the Rube here?
Well played. I'll call him and let him know. You all just right. Got served 4 years later.
You guys you've been playing in, well, Andy, you've been in the band for about a year now, is that correct?
A little over a year, yeah.
And you produced both albums, or you recorded them at least.
Yeah.
How is it being on the other side of the mic, as it were, with these guys?
Haven't had it yet, and I'm nervous about it, I won't lie. we've been writing, and we'll probably start recording the record sometime this summer. And
oh, so you haven't started?
We haven't started tracking anything yet. Okay. We're still trying to just tie up all the songs and what we're gonna actually put on the record. I mean, I've tracked myself playing drums on numerous things and stuff, so I don't really have that kind of red light nervousness, but I'm new to guitar, relatively, and so having, and this happens at shows too, where as soon as I see someone out there that I know is a really good guitarist and they make eye contact with me, I get nervous and it blows it for me, because then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, they're judging me, they're watching me.
Well, what he doesn't know is I'm gonna Toscano him. Once he gets some tracking, I'm gonna call Joey and I'm gonna have him redo all of Andy's guitar parts. And then redo all of mine.
Joey's the number one guitarist in Salt Lake, as we've heard, right? Go-to?
I mean, I don't know about go-to, but
he's up great. There on that top shelf. Mm-hmm. You know, guys like him and Gentry and I don't want to exclude.
I'm just going to say, I'm not going to try and alienate anyone. Yeah, CJ was awesome.
I'm really just trying to start some rumors on the show.
Yeah, we don't need any feuds.
I've been saying recently that there's not enough band beef these days.
There's like
East Coast, West Coast kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This old punk band got back together recently called Gnawing Suspicion, and they had a song back in the day that talked shit on another band called Insight that was a straight edge band. In their lyrics, and I'm like, that doesn't happen anymore. So we thought about starting up a feud with Thunderfist, and we talked to them about it, and they came to the conclusion that everyone would take it too seriously,
yeah,
and we would actually hate each other. So
yeah, it might get really serious. Really.
Right? Well, someone would end up shot. There'd be blood in the streets.
Yeah, it would get ugly.
Well, that's a good point. The scene here for hard rock, at least, is really good. There's a lot of really great local bands.
Yeah.
And the State of the Union, as it were, is fucking awesome, I guess you could say. And that goes to show with the bands you guys are in. You've also gotten together in a new project, Oxcross. You guys want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's the brainchild-ish of Taylor Williams, who was originally from here. He was in Glacial and, Queen Anne's Revenge.
Queen Anne's Revenge.
Some other bands. But he moved to Denver for a couple of years, and he started a band called Black Sleeve of Kali, which are awesome. And then he had a kid and decided to move back a little over a year ago, and started up with myself and a couple other guys. Those other guys dropped out one by one. And so the current lineup is I'm playing drums, Taylor on vocals and guitar, Jeff on guitar, and Dave Jones from Old Timer and Dwellers on bass. So we just played our first show a couple weeks ago, which was awesome. It was unfortunate because it was the cops busted raunch during the show.
I didn't hear about that.
Well, Invaders were playing and literally shook the foundation.
Kind of loud, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, way loud. And so cops showed up, and that was the last show at Raunch. So it was kind of bittersweet that it was our first show, but also their last show. But So that was our first show, and our next show is going to be the Crucial Fest show.
Yeah. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about that? Have you played in any bands that have done Crucial Fest?
Yeah, Tom did play that last year.
Oh, right, yeah,
we played it last year.
And how did you find it?
It was fun. It was a great show.
It was an awesome show. Crucial Fest was brilliant last year.
Yeah.
This year, I'm a little concerned about it spanning over 2 weeks and people kind of losing steam, because last year it was a week, and by the last show on Sunday, people were pretty partied out, and because they were excited to be there, and all the shows were really, really well attended.
They were,
and even bands that like no one had heard of before. I mean, like kids were showing up that would normally not go to see those kind of bands, and so it's really cool, like camaraderie, community, kind of like just a boost for the scene. And so I'm hoping that this year it'll continue like that. Like I said, I'm a little nervous about it burning people out, but it's going to be from Wednesday to Saturday each week.
I think that'll actually give a break. People will be able to take a breath.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping. It won't be nonstop. You'll be able to be like, all right, we got next weekend, we'll do the same thing, and
right,
good time.
I believe that was the goal, was to give people a little break, because there are more bands, and they try to have to fit, you know.
Yeah, there's amazing bands this year, though. Yeah. There's tons of bands. And
you're talking about Dunn, of course.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm only talking about bands that I'm
involved in.
Bands that I play in or record.
Which is this? Which is literally probably half of the bands at Crucial Fest.
Right. People know me.
This is our Crucial Fest preview episode, so we're gonna play a song off of the new Dunn album here in a few.
Sweet.
So you are kind of all over this episode. That's not a bad thing, though.
Yeah, I'm a whore.
He is.
Is that the word?
I accept it.
Yeah. I mean, everybody says around your back what you're saying right here.
I'll take it.
Okay. Good. Well, I guess the question then, Jeff, is how's it to work with Andy Patterson?
It's rad. He's a really good dude to work with. He's like the wise old sage, you know. I know that sounds totally retarded, but he's been doing it. He's been playing music a lot longer than me. He's a few years older than me, and he's been doing it longer than me, on a level, you know, beyond what I've ever done. And probably he's played hundreds of more shows. So there's a little bit of just kind of an even keel to Andy that makes it really nice to be in a band with, to be in a project with. For everything from traveling to writing songs to worrying about really, really dumb things that you don't need to worry about. And he's helped he's been kind of our sea calmer, you know, or steadier. So it's nice. I never held him in that high regard, so it's been perfectly normal to get into a band with him.
Yeah, you don't want to be disappointed, right?
Right. I keep expectations.
Well, when a Salt Lake's Better Drummers calls you and says, why don't you let me play guitar in your band? You think either A, that that's an insult to your band, or...
That was a move that I put into motion in my head for about a year. So, through the making of Midwestern Rude, Jeremy Cardenas from Thunder Fist was playing guitar and singing in Top Dead. And I knew that was going to end eventually.
Yeah.
I just could feel that he was going to focus on Thunder Fist. So I was waiting for that moment. And as soon as he quit, I called Jeff. I'm like, I'm in. And he's like,
I do have to say, yes. I've never seen Andy work harder for anything musically since. I mean,
yeah,
I think it's been a while since he's probably put that much effort into doing something.
Well, it's
like
real,
that kind of.
It's real fun for me because I'm not really a guitar player, and I've wanted to play. I dabbled on guitar since I was a kid, but no one will let me play guitar in the band because everyone needs a drummer, and everyone's a guitar player, so I have no clout, you know, because I'm not good, and so. It's a lot of fun for me to play guitar, and I feel like I want to be a good enough to keep my place in the band. So it's actually the only instrument that I practice at home. You know, I don't practice drums unless I'm playing in a band at band practice, and I haven't for decades. You know, I don't sit down and do rudiments or anything like that. But on guitar, I'm actually like learning scales and practicing and strengthening my fingers, and you know, I'm trying to not be the weak link in the band, you know. So
how does the wife like that?
Oh, she loves it.
She likes it. Okay.
Yeah, she loves it. I mean, I met her in the studio, so she knew full well what she was getting into.
She gets it. That's really nice.
Yeah.
She still works at Squatters, is it?
She works at Utah Brewers Co-op.
Utah Brewers Co-op, right?
Which is cool because, I mean, a lot of the guys that we play around town with all work with her. So they've got a big schedule in the office of the brewery of Derwitt's band is playing this night, Phil Invader's band is playing this night, Mikey T's band is playing this night, Chopper's band is playing this night, you know, so,
right.
Yeah.
It's good to know that the Salt Lake music scene is powered by a brewer co-op.
And absolutely.
It's awesome. Beer. Yeah. There's no shortage of beer at all, I'm guessing.
I hope not.
I hope we haven't run out yet.
I'm doing my best.
There's no bottom.
I'm trying to drink it all.
You guys could have a tap at the studio. I don't know if you ever thought about that.
Yeah, nothing would get done.
Yeah?
Yep. Nothing would get done.
Wait.
That would be a terrible idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might understand that the rock and roll dream that I had is not reality.
The problem with
Led Zeppelin, it's not like we can sit around for 12 hours, do a bunch of cocaine and fuck a couple of whores and then write an album.
The problem with that is that when we're in the studio, we have to try to be as efficient as we can, and if everyone's shit hammered, then no one's getting anything done. Or really bad decisions are being made and then being replaced later. So it's twice as much time out of that one instance. So.
Which you've probably seen on the other end, but you're just like, oh, you guys are eating up your own money and time, but well, and you're recording.
Well, I don't like doing that either on like just a moral level. Like, I'm not going to charge someone to babysit and watch them party.
Right.
If I feel like no one's getting anything done because they're hammered, then that's when I call the session.
Yeah, I mean, you want to go.
Go home and party, and then you don't have to do it for my rate.
So, note to all musicians in Salt Lake.
Not that I discourage, no.
We got to be
biting or whatever, but you know, you're making something that's your craft, and so you should probably have your head in the game, you know. So
there's a line between making art and shit, I guess, right?
Yeah,
and it's a pretty thin one when it comes to a keg of beer.
Especially some of that really good beer.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to ask you guys what your thoughts about this next year is going to be in terms of the album and where you're progressing with Top Dead Celebrity, the future plans for that. How's that going?
Good. I think we'll hopefully get a record finished this summer. I think we'll
we'll at least have it all tracked.
And then we'll sit around with it for a year and pretend like we don't care. And then maybe release it next fall. I don't know. I think it's going to be more of the same and then a few new things. I don't know. I think there might be some things on this new record that's maybe surprised people who've ever listened to any of our records.
My one thought about the difference between this new record and the other two is I think that they'll probably be a bit of a tonal departure. Not totally, but I think it'll be a little bit more diverse and with the tones that we get. Like, we don't want to do it in a normal way, or the way that we've done the last two records. We want to do more of a song-by-song approach and have each song. So instead of tracking all the drums in a weekend or a day or whatever, start doing the drums for one song, then building on top of that and finishing that song-ish, finish-ish, you know?
Yeah.
And then moving on to another song. So each song has its own vibe.
You kind of live in its own
space. Funny, Gavin was in here earlier and we were talking about Grohl and talking about Queens of the Stone Age, Songs for the Deaf, and that's kind of a little bit of the vibe that I'm going for with it. In the varying tones per song, each song's kind of got its own thing going on, mix-wise and delivery of different instruments and stuff, so I want it to be, you know, more song-driven than alright, let's do all the guitar tracks tonight.
Well, plus you've got all my new falsetto vocals that I gotta work on.
Right.
So, there's a little hint about the upcoming sound you guys have. Alright, well, thanks for your time today, guys. Anything else you'd like to add? Where can people find you on the internet? That sort of stuff?
I think we're the worst fucking people for this.
Yeah, I know.
We do have an official website that none of us manage, that I know of. I think Jesse does. I think Jesse kind of does something. I think we're on Facebook somewhere.
Yeah, we have a Facebook page.
And I never update that. Okay, so you cannot go there for shows, really, unless I get motivated to post a show. So yeah, we're terrible. I'm the worst. I need to get someone to do that for me.
And both the records are on iTunes.
Yeah, they're all over.
And they're really cheap. For the quality of music, I should say, they're 99 cents each.
If you go to our website, you can buy, and I think that's actual physical copies.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's downloads or not. I think that's physical copies, yeah. Jesse wants to get physical copies out there. So If you just want it digitally, you can get paid more for it. But if you want it cheap, we'll mail it to you for like $3.
Oh, that's great. And there's the Gumby video on the website we should mention.
Yeah, we should have mentioned the Gumby video because that is a stellar piece of work.
Great
if
job,
anyone
Jesse.
Knows any videographers that would like to donate some time, we could really...
Yeah, we talked about it quite a bit. We really want to do a video at some point. But we don't want it to be, you know...
Us in a field with amps that aren't plugged in.
Are you sure? Because that's the vision I had for the video.
But I don't want to ape their style. But one of the bands that I get inspired by to do a video is the band Red Fang. Mm-hmm. They do really funny videos, not like slapstick, but like they're clever. Like one of the videos, they spend their entire budget buying a car and then just crashing it into stuff, big piles of milk jugs.
So we also need a budget.
Yes, we need budget.
Budget would help too.
But yeah, we want to do a video, but we just want to have fun with it and do something clever. So if there's anyone that's like doing video stuff that wants a guinea pig, maybe give us a call.
You guys could put it on your Facebook.
That we never use.
Yeah, we could. Someone could figure out.
We could put it on our website.
I figured out how to put videos on YouTube the other
day. Oh, wow. Congratulations. Well, thanks for your time, guys. I look forward to seeing you and all your bands at Crucial Fest.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
I'm joined once again for our weekly daily calendar rundown with Esther Amarondio, our editorial assistant.
Yep.
And that's not a question, I guess, that's a statement.
Yes.
And let's start off with one of the best events of the summer. We've already been talking about it this episode, playing music from it. Do you want to tell people what kicks off Wednesday, June 20th at the Woodshed?
Yeah, it's Crucial Fest, and it's really awesome local music festival. This is its second year this year, and we actually have a really awesome feature on it in our June issue that you should definitely check out. There's going to be 70 plus bands playing over a span of 2 weeks. It goes from June 20th through the 23rd, and then starts up again June 27th through the 30th, playing at various venues around town and all different kinds of bands, mostly local, mostly heavy, but there's also some other cool stuff like Muscle Hawk playing, so it'll be fun.
They were doing a street fair kind of event at Kilby during some of the days too, so they're going to take over Kilby Court and have a really festival-like atmosphere, so you can go to crucialfest.com and check out more information there. And Thursday, June 21st, I know you're a big fan of skateboarding, aren't you, Esther?
Yeah, I mean, I don't skateboard.
Wait, you're not a skateboarder?
I prefer to ride a bicycle. I'm a little bit more coordinated on a bicycle.
Right, you like to ride bicycles.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. Awkward. Okay.
But I like skateboarders, and I like to watch them skate, so...
So you're a fan of Go Skateboarding Day, then?
Yeah.
Which is this Thursday at Blindside, Salty Peaks, Annex, and
it's actually
Milo.
I think that almost every local shop is celebrating it in their own way. So go check out, go to the shop, go ask them what they're up to. If they're not doing anything, try and get them to do something. Put together like a small skate competition or even just a group ride.
And Utah Arts Fest at Library Square starts that Thursday as well. It runs through June 24th. Mm-hmm. It's going to be another exciting year. There's music in addition to the art. Really good lineup. So I can sign off on it, literally.
I love the Arts Fest.
You go every year.
I do.
And on that day as well, it's a notable show of Crucial Fest. Sub Rosa's first show as a full band in over a year. Witch Mountain from Portland, Lord Dying from Portland, and Reality, a really old SLC hardcore band. It's a reunion show of theirs. That's going to be at Bird's Tiki Lounge. Reality's real, I should say that. If you've never heard them, go back into your archives, find somebody.
That show right there is worth the wristband that covers the entire Crucial Fest, so go get a wristband.
They're really easy to get. You can get them at Grey Whale. Friday, June 22nd, there's going to be a really interesting folk music show at the State Room. Interesting in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, Laura Marling. I became aware of her last year, I think. I'm not really super into folk music, but she's got a really awesome voice, and she's from the UK. It's kind of more like alternative folk rock stuff. And I recently went to a show at the State Room, and it's kind of cool because We have those seats and you just kind of sit back and relax, and their sound system is really awesome. So I would definitely go check this out. I'm gonna be there.
Yeah, you don't have to dance in the front with the kids. You can go sit in the back of the chapel seats. It's a really nice venue for as far as medium-sized music venues in Salt Lake go, like medium to larger. It's one of the better ones. And I think it's just time to do birthdays. Are you ready?
So ready. So, on Wednesday, June 28th, we want to wish happy birthday to Mary Inge. She is one of our Slug copy editors. She's been on our copy editing team for the longest out of everyone, I think, and so she's pretty awesome. Happy birthday, Mary. And then on Thursday, June 21st, we're celebrating two birthdays. First is John Barkable. He's one of our Slug photographers. He does great job covering events and also print stuff. So happy birthday, John. And happy birthday to Dusk. He is one of our Slug distro drivers. He's done art for us. He's one who painted all of this awesome artwork in our Soundwave studio.
We posted a picture of that the other day on Twitter. You can check that out. You and I looking just really excited.
Yeah.
The studio looks better than us, I could say.
It does. And you probably recognize him as a local hip-hop artist who just dropped an album, actually. So happy birthday to Dusk.
We also want to wish our distro manager, Eric Granado, a super happy birthday. He is the one who's in charge of getting the magazine out to you, and he does a pretty awesome job. So happy birthday, Granado.
Then one more birthday, Monday, June 25th. We want to wish a happy birthday to Mariah Mellis. She is our Slug Gallery Stroll columnist, has been our Gallery Stroll columnist for years now, and she's often heard on the podcast. So happy birthday, Mariah.
Great job with the birthdays, Stan, as usual. So cheery about them. I hate birthdays. I'm glad you're doing that. Yeah.
I love birthdays so much.
I don't hate other people's birthdays. I don't want to sound like an asshole. Like, fuck your birthdays, but...
You're one of those people.
I'm kind of...
Do I look old?
You can check out more from our daily calendar at the back of our magazine. There's a hard copy of the whole month. It's the best resource in town for anything that's of note. You can check it out on the front page of the website. And there's also one other place where you can get it.
Well, if you're one of those people with a fancy iPhone, which probably 99% of the population owns at this point. That's not true. You and me, though.
No,
not us.
We're a little too cool.
You can actually get our iPhone app, and it's pretty handy. It's got a link to our latest episode of Soundwaves, also links to our latest issue, along with a direct line to our voicemail, which we definitely suggest that you call often when you're drunk, or when you're sad, or when you're extremely happy. Just call us.
At 858-233-9324 if you don't have access to the iPhone app. Which is really rad, because you could just call us from the app. I think that's amazing. It's like we live in the future.
It is. People can, like, Skype on their phones now.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. You can, like, talk to another person on your phone.
What?
You can talk to them. You
know. Hold the phone, quite literally. I was unaware of this development. I gotta go do some research. Thank you for joining us, Esther.
Thank you, JP.
Dawn is a hard rock group from Salt Lake City, consisting of Andy Patterson on drums and Cash Tolman on guitar and vocals. They formed in late 2011, playing occasional gigs while working on their soon-to-be-released debut album, which word on the street is going to be available in cassette format. Yes, the highly valued cassette format. Here's Let It Ride from their debut album, Done One, Done Them All.
That was Done with Let It Ride from their debut album. They'll be playing Crucial Fest next week on Saturday, June 30th at the Urban Lounge, along with White Orange, Norska, and Hi-Fi Massacre. They currently have no websites or social networking sites, so buy a ticket and make sure you enjoy the show and tell them in person. Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School is an alternative life drawing event, often featuring models and dancers dressed in burlesque fashion or other weird costuming. The original school was founded in New York City in 2005 by illustrators Molly Crabapple and A.V. Phoebes. After much success, the school expanded the concept into a global franchise in 2007. To date, Dr. Sketchy's has schools in over 100 cities around the world, fostering creativity in myriad forms. The Salt Lake City chapter was founded in January 2011 by local illustrator Maggie Zuko, originally starting at Bar Deluxe and relocating to Club Metro in February of 2012. Slug writer Amanda Nuri talks with Zuko about the event.
So how did you become involved with Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School?
So they have Dr. Sketchy's all over the world, and they have one in Minneapolis, and I went to it there, and when I moved to Utah, I was just sort of looking for a way to meet new people, make new friends, and like sort of network in the art community. And I think it's an amazing event and it's super fun. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, this would be a really cool thing to have in Salt Lake, and there's not one anywhere, I think the closest is maybe Vegas. Yeah, so I went through the application process with them. They're headquartered in New York City. Mm-hmm. And they gave me the go ahead, and then it's just kind of, after they say, yeah, you can do it, it's up to you to do whatever you want. And it's very open, it's pretty cool.
So for those of us who don't know, what exactly is Dr. Sketchy's Anti-Art School?
It's figure drawing, but themed. So every month, I do my monthlies. On last Tuesday, the theme was out of hell. So it was like demons, goblins, ghouls, gravestones. And we set up a sort of like a setting in the background. I hire models to come in. And then you come down to the bar, which is at Metro. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's a super great place to have it. And you pay for us, pay your $5. And then it's just sort of an opportunity. It's an excuse, I think, for people to come and draw in an environment, like draw for fun. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like, especially when you're, you know, I just turned 27, your life is go, 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 go. You're so busy, and it's an excuse to let loose a little bit, you know, make new friends, network with like people in the community that are into art as well, and mm-hmm. you know, just allow yourself to take 3 hours and just draw fun, crazy, random things.
And the Facebook page describes the meetups as having an atmosphere of boozy conviviality and offering booze and babes and killer tunes and prizes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, well, I encourage people to drink, A, because it's a bar, you know, so I mean,
awesome.
You know, and I think for me personally, part of the appeal is being able to get a cocktail or a beer and being able to sit and sketch and not look like a weirdo. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can't just go to a bar with your sketchbook and like draw people because people are like, oh, is that weird? I mean, you can, I'm not bashing on that, if you can do that or whatever, but like an atmosphere of, you know, fun, creativity. You know, last event I encouraged doing like partner drawing, so you meet a new person and you guys work on a drawing together. Mm-hmm. And I think it you can use it as an opportunity to further your skills or as an opportunity to get out of your house on a Tuesday night and go do something fun. You know, and then whatever comes out of it comes out of it, but you don't, you know, you're not stuck in front of your computer or...
Yeah. And it's sort of open, not just people that have studied art.
Yeah, it's, yeah, and totally everyone. And I encourage people to share what they do. And I have tons of art supplies, so sometimes people will come, oh, my friend's modeling. And they're like, oh, I kind of want to draw. I don't really draw, though, and then they're kind of nervous and embarrassed. But I'm like, whatever, just grab here, have some markers mm-hmm. and pencils, and here's a clipboard, and here's some paper, and just draw. And
so you provide some materials if people don't have them?
Yep. So I have just like so like everything that you could ever want.
Do people often bring their own though as well?
Most people that are coming specifically to draw, everyone pretty much brings their own stuff. Because everyone, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm going to this event, I'm planning to go to this event, this is the medium I like to use, so that's what I'm going to use. You know? Okay. So the prizes thing mm-hmm. is really fun. I get prizes donated, and then I also purchase prizes, and I do print out with different contests. And then at the end of the event, everyone that feels comfortable, which is usually pretty much everyone by that point, puts their drawings out and we vote on, oh, like this is my favorite as far as like the setting. This sketch really is really cool background wise with the figures in it or whatever. And then, oh, okay, you win a prize. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
When are some upcoming Dr. Sketchy events in Salt Lake?
I used to do it the last Monday of the month, and then when I was at Bar Deluxe. And then I took a little break, switched to Metro Bar, and now it's the last Tuesday of every month.
And these are all themed nights, correct?
Yes, so each time, and that's the most fun part for me, is like deciding on a theme.
How do you pick your theme?
I have a list in my mind of like 50 things that I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like, okay, so this month it was out of hell, so it was like scary, demons, blah, blah, blah. And next month I kind of want to do something, like I try to do like very different things every time. So next month the theme is a Betty Page tribute.
Cool.
So it's like pin-up-y, and we're going to try to recreate some of the classic Betty Page, mm-hmm. you know, photograph poses or whatever, like the leopard bikini, the spanking with the other girl, like, you know, mm-hmm. the one with the stool. It's like scary, freaky, cool, funky pinup. 2 months ago it was a like 60s retro outer space. So, you know, they thought this outer space stuff would be in the 60s. So it was like silver, like goofy tank tops and big goofy goggles and mm-hmm. ray guns that I made from squirt guns, you know.
Yeah. How much does it cost anything to go to these events?
Yes. So the way I'm doing it now, and I'm pretty happy with it, it's $5 at the door per person.
Not bad.
It's pretty cheap. Yeah. And then it's a cheap night. You come, you pay your $5, and then you maybe get a couple drinks. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not like the Metro is like super fancy, high-priced stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty, you can go out, have a really fun night, maybe win some stuff, you know, for what, 20, 30 bucks or something.
Do any big names in the Salt Lake City art community show up to join the fun?
I mean, there's like a Disney, like the Disney video game branch or something in Salt Lake is here. So we've had some Disney people come down, and then there's EA Sports video games. And so mm-hmm. some of those people have come down, and I have some Slug people, and
just a good mixture.
Yeah, it's like such a variety of artistic backgrounds, mm-hmm. self-taught, and then people that do it for work, but don't get to sit and draw monsters for work, you know, yeah. or whatever. So, you know, oh, Paper Wasp has been one of our sponsors, and those guys will come down, and the Hive Gallery, that's like, has been one of my best supporters and so encouraging for me. It's Emily and Christian that own it, so they'll come down and have a couple drinks and say hi, and, mm-hmm. you know, they'll donate prizes, and I don't know, I feel like my original goal to do sketches is definitely, like, that's what's happened. Like, I've made new friends, I've met a lot of people, so it's been good.
It's got a lot of people doing artwork, which is
yeah,
great.
And I feel like it's been getting busier. Mm-hmm. So
about how many people show up to a night?
I think, so on Tuesday, I'm pretty sure we had people sitting and drawing that came, you know, at the beginning, probably like 30.
Nice.
Which for us is big. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, you know, all the other people that come just to hang out and say hey, and then maybe draw, maybe don't, heckle the models, you know, like put their 2 cents in for the voting contest or whatever. It's been good. I mean, it seems like I've gotten a lot of good feedback, but I've struggled getting bodies in the door for a long time, which was really frustrating. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't want to jinx myself, but I feel like it's the past 3 months, each, you know, there's like two or three more people each time.
Are there other ways people can get involved? Just kind of a show up deal? And
well, I'm always looking for models, and that's, you know, that's a really fun way. I'm looking for outgoing, not necessarily having any modeling experience, but people that are willing to get dressed up in goofy stuff and comfortable in front of a large group of people staring at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And you have to be able to stand still for up to 30 minutes.
Okay.
Which I think is the hardest part about the modeling gig.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's hard because I always feel like I need help with mm-hmm. it because I'm so busy and crazy and it's just one more thing that every month I just feel like if I have one more person or, you know, if mm-hmm. I had a network of people to help me. But then it's hard to think about organizing those people
yeah.
in a way, because that's a lot of work too. And I feel like this is in many aspects of my life. I'm the kind of person that, I'm just going to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than trying, not that I'm necessarily a perfectionist, but you know, sometimes it's just easier to do it yourself.
Maybe some volunteer help would be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be nice if I could organize some people and like to do. The hardest thing for me is getting flyers out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I sit down, I design a flyer, I get them printed. By the time that happens, you know, it's hopefully 3 weeks till the event. I can really get on it and get it done. Then it's like I feel like the energy to like go to all the different places that I could and should be flying.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I run out of the oomph.
Yeah, advertising is always difficult.
Yeah, and then just I just try to coerce my boyfriend. I'm like, oh, you just get on your bike and, you know, drop off some flyers, and which he does do, and it's really nice, but one guy on his bike, you know.
Dr. Sketchies will take place on Tuesday, June 26th at the Metro Bar in Salt Lake City. And this month's theme is a tribute to Betty Page. Remember to bring your sketch pad or whatever tools you might need. Class starts at 7 p.m. and is just $5 to attend. For more info on Dr. Sketchies as a whole, visit drsketchy.com. And for more information on the SLC chapter, search Dr. Sketchies Salt Lake City on Facebook. That's SKETCHY. Thanks for listening to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. What are your thoughts about E3 this year? Do you have a favorite game on the way or something you absolutely hate from the Expo? Feel free to drop us a line and tell us your thoughts on the Electronic Gaming Expo before our writers do. Send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message at 858-233-9324. That voicemail is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so feel free to drop us a line. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art designed by T. Doan, technical design by Kate O'Connor. On next week's episode, a recap of E3, we'll be talking about Salt Lake City's exciting new digital catalog for their library system, and Salt City Derby Girls.
Ends on a good note, edit the parts out where I sound like a jackass, we'll be alright. We'll be alright.